this is 6 Minute English from bbclearningenglish.com.
Hello, I'm Dan.
And I'm Alice.
And this is 6 Minute English. Today we're talking about a new report that examines how poverty can affect education.
The report from the Organisation for Economic Cooperation and Development, or OECD, studies whether there is an inevitable link between wealth and academic performance.
You'd think that children from poorer backgrounds perform less well at school than children from richer backgrounds, right, Alice?
Well, that makes sense. If you're from a disadvantaged background, then the odds are stacked against you. You're less likely to succeed because the situation is unfavourable.
But the OECD report says that in certain countries, children from poorer backgrounds are more likely to achieve good grades and do well academically, despite having the odds stacked against them.
So it's easier for poorer school students or pupils to achieve high grades in some countries rather than others then, Dan?
Exactly. They achieve against the odds. For example, poorer children in Canada and Japan are more likely to achieve good grades than poor children in the UK. There's a more level playing field in those countries than in Britain.
That's a good phrase. A level playing field. It comes from sport. If you're playing on a level playing field, it's a fair situation for everybody. So where are poorer pupils most likely to do well then, Dan?
Ah, well, that's this week's question, actually, Alice. Which country do you think came top in the OECD list for pupils doing well, even when the odds are stacked against them? Was it A, Finland, B, Canada, or C, South Korea?
And I'll guess Finland.
Well, we'll see if you're right at the end of the programme. Now let's hear from Professor Yvonne Kelly from the University of Essex. She specialises in how economic factors can influence childhood development. Here she is talking about her research in the UK. What factors does she say could be affected by different levels of family income?
We compared levels of family income with the likelihood of children having social and emotional difficulties and also their cognitive ability skills.
So the research compared levels of family income, that's how much money a family earns, with the likelihood of children having social and emotional difficulties.
Social here refers to how people live and work together, and emotional refers to how the children react to their feelings. So the income of a family could affect whether the children have social and emotional difficulties.
And the research also looked at children's cognitive ability skills. That's the way children learn. Cognitive is a scientific term that refers to how we process information.
And what were the findings of this research then, Dan?
Well, Professor Kelly says that children from low-income families were more likely to show symptoms of social and emotional difficulties. She says they can be more fidgety, restless and clingy. Could you explain some of these terms for us, Alice?
Sure. Well, to fidget means to make small, quick movements in a nervous way. So fidgety means moving nervously. Being restless means you're unable to relax. And clingy, well, here it means that the child doesn't want to be separated from their parents.
OK, let's listen to Professor Kelly again. How many times more likely were children from poorer backgrounds to suffer from social and emotional difficulties?
Children from the poorest households were between 7 and 8 times more likely to have social and emotional difficulties, things like being excessively fidgety, restless, clingy, compared to their better-off counterparts.
So children from poorer backgrounds were 7 or 8 times more likely to be fidgety, restless and clingy than their better-off counterparts.
Better-off here means richer. And a counterpart is a person who's at the same level or who does the same job. So the better-off counterparts here are children of the same age who are from richer backgrounds. But Dan, did you say that some countries have less of a divide between the grades of richer pupils and poorer pupils than other countries?
That's right. Although there's a strong link between family income and how well pupils perform at school, the report says that the education systems in some countries are more likely to help students from poor backgrounds develop self-confidence and motivation to succeed.
OK, so don't keep me waiting, Dan. Which countries are they?
Well, I can tell you that South Korea, Finland, Japan, Turkey and Canada are the most successful countries in terms of poorer pupils achieving high results. But today's question was which country came top in the OECD list for poorer students getting higher grades? Was it A, Finland, B, Canada, or C, South Korea?
And I said Finland?
Well, in fact, it was South Korea. In fact, the top five places by regional and national school systems are all in Asia. South Korea leads the countries, and Shanghai, Hong Kong, Macau and Singapore are also in the top five. France, Australia and the US are around average for pupils succeeding against the odds, and the UK is unfortunately well below average. Well, Alice, before we go, let's hear some of the words and phrases we've used in today's programme.
OK. The odds are stacked against you. Pupils. A level playing field. Income. Social and emotional. Cognitive. Fidgety. Restless. Clingy. Better off. Counterpart.
Thanks, Alice. I hope you've enjoyed today's programme and you'll join us again for more 6 Minute English next time.
Bye.
That was 6 Minute English from bbclearningenglish.com.